Religious comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there, folks. Got a little bit of candy in my mouth this morning. It's a soft kind, so I'm not gonna hurt my teeth or anything by sucking on this today. Even though my mom would say, honey, don't talk. My mom would say, David, don't talk with food in your mouth. That's not food in my mouth, but bear with me. Excited about today's show. I'm excited about every day's show, but we got a good one for you today. So hang in there with us, if you will. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So folks, listen, as a guy who's been through this battle over this lie of the separation between the church and state, and my two-year battle with American civil liberties, and I still can't say that without gagging. I understand the lies that are being perpetrated on the church, and the fact the church is sadly buying into those lies. The separation between the church and state's nowhere in any of our documents, not in the Constitution, not in the Declaration, not in any of our founding documents. It was a personal, private letter written from the Danbury Baptist Church to Thomas Jefferson. You can still go. I've been there. You can still go to Danbury, Connecticut, and go to that old Baptist church. The frame is still there, 1801. And that was where America, brothers, there was a seed that was sown there that America's been fighting with ever since. The whole idea of the separation between the church and state was designed to keep the church separate from the government, in that they didn't want the government sticking its nose in the church's business. They didn't want the King of England to be the head of the church and the head of the government. So when Thomas Jefferson penned that letter about the separation between the church and state, it was never designed to have separation between morality and state, which is what we have, folks. It's what we have. And unfortunately, many of today's Christian leaders, pastors in particular, men who stand in the pulpit, do not understand. They don't understand the times in which we live and know what it is that Israel needs to do. We're joined this morning by Pastor Tony Spell from Life Tabernacle Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And Pastor Tony, for those of you who don't know or will know here as we continue on, was one of the brave pastors across America, but the one who really got a lot of the attention when he said, we ain't closing our church. We're not closing our church. I'm going to tell you the story here in a minute. He's still standing, by the way, still alive, still standing.
Yes.
But Monday, the first, which is what, about 10 days from now, Pastor Spell's going to be back in court for simply opening up his church when the government told him to shut it down. And he's one of the few brave guys who didn't bend and didn't break. So I want to open this up here just a couple minutes. By the way, it'd be a great time to text somebody or email somebody or Facebook somebody and say, you got to tune in to see whose coach is talking to today. Get them in here. Because listen, folks, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We have a huge, huge education process in front of us to awaken Christians to exactly, my goodness, what's going on here. So I want to play this real quickly. This is Pastor Tony Spell. After he was, yes, folks, arrested, cuffed, taken to jail for preaching from his church during Sunday when the government says you can't do that. And Pastor Tony says, I'm going to do it because I obey God, not man. And here's a real brief video of him when he's being released from jail. Go ahead and play that real quick there.
Come on, Pastor!
truth to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
That's right.
And are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. My rights to have church and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ are endowed to me by my Creator, not my district attorney, not my chief of police, and not my governor, John Bell Edwards, not my president, and not my Department of Justice. My unalienable rights are given to me by God, and those rights are my rights to assemble and have church. I cannot give up those rights. Amen. God forbids me to give up those rights. I will not give up my right to have church. I will not give up my rights to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was arrested by the Central Police Department this morning. I was led into a trap. A half a dozen officers handcuffed me, put me in the back of the car, and booked me into East Baton Rouge Parish Prison. While I was in the prison, I preached to the inmates. When the guards used profanity, I said, every time you use profanity, I'm going to quote a scripture. It went quiet in that jail cell. And then I preached to people.
Hallelujah.
And I want to give hope to every Christian in this nation today. You don't let anybody take your rights to go to church.
Amen.
You don't let anybody take your rights to assemble.
Stand strong.
You stand strong. And don't ever forget that Jesus Christ is the Savior of this world.
Amen.
I am not guilty of any charges that I have been accused of. I am not guilty of assault with a deadly weapon. I am not guilty of defying any orders. The only thing I'm guilty of is practicing my faith, which was given to me by Jesus Christ Himself.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for my church who is here today, who stands with me. I will see you in church tonight at 7:30.
Boy, Pastor Tony, you opened up a can of worms, brother. Go ahead and shut that down there. Man, that must what a moment that must have been. As you probably look back over and say, "Well, Lord, where did I get that strength to be able to do that?" Hey, so can I call you Tony?
Okay, yes, Tony? Sir.
So Tony, brother, tell us a story. What the heck? What the heck? Why you? What happened here?
Coach, that's a very emotional video. I actually feel the Holy Ghost during this.
I did too, brother.
I'm with y'all this morning. So on close to a year now, 50 weeks ago, Governor John Bell Edwards, he summoned the Central Police Department out to my church on a Tuesday night and said, "We're here to warn you that the National Guard is going to come out and shut your service down if you have church again." Of course, we asked them what crime we had committed. They couldn't name it. And that began a long, long journey over the past 50 weeks of being arrested on 33 different occasions, Coach.
Wow.
Everybody from the head of chief police, the head of fire marshal, from the sheriff, from the head of family councils, family court forums, anybody that they could muster up to send to try to shut us down.
They just make up authorities, don't they, Pastor? They go out and find somebody's the head of this department, now they're an authority.
You know, and they would not come into our building where I would have thousands of people three times a week for church because they said that my building was contaminated with the virus. They surveil me constantly. There are six cameras on my home and on my church right now. They tap my phone calls. I haven't had a private conversation with anyone since I've been under state and federal investigation. And all of these are just Gestapo-type bully tactics that they use to try to close the doors of our church because we had the audacity to obey God rather than man. So,
Pastor Tony, right wing watching, some of them are listening in right now, so, and the FBI probably. So I just want them to know the First Amendment says the right to petition your government for a redress of grievances, right? It's a God given right to assemble. God given right. Okay, brother, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, so not only is it a God given right, Coach, but it is an inalienable right.
Right.
So inalienable means that I can't give that right up. God forbid me to give it up. And you can't take that right from me. Our right to go to church does not come from the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution of the United States protects our biblical conviction and obligation to go to church. Whenever the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock several hundred years ago, they didn't have a constitution. They defied their government, and they came here for the particular of religious freedom. And now we have a constitution. It is on slippery slopes, but in the meantime, we still do have a First Amendment. I want the United States Supreme Court to tell me you do not have a First Amendment right to assemble. Yeah. Of course, they held my case for 17 days. And after day 17, they rejected it and said, we're not going to hear your case.
The Supreme Court did? The Supreme Court did. Why?
The Supreme Court refused to hear our case.
Wow.
Which is, it's not based on strict scrutiny, least restrictive means, or equal protection. We don't want equal protection. We don't want to be equal to anybody. The Bible tells us, and the Constitution tells us, that Congress shall make no law. If the Congress can't make law, then certainly our one-man dictator government can't make a law, and certainly the judicial branch cannot make a law.
Nor the health director, right, brother?
No, the Board of Health. Not only did the chief fire marshal come out and tell me that I could not assemble, but the other day when I walked out of the front door of my house, there were two fire marshals. One was the second in charge of the state, who told me, we have an anonymous report that your building is not up to compliance. Well, we have 80,000 square feet of buildings. You can go in there at any time and find something that's not right. Sure. And even after they left, my internet wouldn't work for about a week. I believe that they did something to sabotage our streaming service for our church. So I was arrested for the first time in a prayer meeting by the police chief and the assistant chief of police. And then after that, sheriffs, after that, federal agents, and so on and so forth. And all of this for assembling. They've even gone as far as to trump up charges against me, totally fictitious charges that do not exist. They would set a trial date to go and face these charges. And mysteriously, the person who wrote the ticket had retired 2 weeks earlier. And in one instance, the person did not even exist. There was not even a ticket for the charge. So if they can't get something on me, they make something up. This
like
is
saying, like saying you commandeered a bus and tried to run down some folks. That's, you know, they tried to do that. Well, didn't they?
They tried to do it with illegal cameras that were surveilling me. Yeah. While my wife and young children were on a bus, while we run 33 buses across the greater Baton Rouge area. We pick up several hundred children, an average of 647 children a week for Sunday school. We feed them, we clothe them, we give them spiritual direction.
Wow. And, so you're not just some little 25 member church down on the corner, Pastor Tony?
We're not, man. And they hate us because they, you know, Haman the Agagite in the book of Esther hates Mordecai because Mordecai will not bow. Mm-hmm. And as long as Mordecai won't bow, he's got green-eyed jealousy that wants to shut him down and kill him. But I've got news for Haman. He's going to be hanged on the gallows that he built to hang me.
Amen.
So,
Amen. And my brother Tony, folks, I don't know if you know this. Tell them who your lead attorney is, Pastor.
So Judge Roy Moore is our lead counsel. Whenever I was arrested the first time on that Tuesday afternoon at a prayer meeting, Judge Moore and the Moore Law Firm called us and spoke to us for an hour and said, I've had a lawsuit on my desk for a week and I couldn't find a pastor that I could use it to represent. His own church closed there in Montgomery, Alabama. And we were honored to have him stand with us, and we're still honored to have him. Right now, we're in the Fifth Circuit Appellate Court, and we're in the First Circuit Court of Appeals as well as the 19th Judicial District Court. And like I said, we have not had a favorable ruling anywhere. We've had some favor. You know, some judges, like in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, Judge James C. Ho, a 47-year-old Taiwanese Trump appointee, he scalded Governor John Bel Edwards. He said, Edwards, how dare you praise the protesters, back Black Lives Matters, that stands for burning, looting, and murdering. How dare you praise them, but you're persecuting the pastor. While he was praising them after the George Floyd murders, he was praising them and telling them they have the right to exercise their First Amendment. I was under house arrest with an ankle bracelet, forbidden to leave the front door of my house. Go ahead.
Well, you got a myriad of charges, but really, what's the charge, Pastor? What is the charge? You didn't obey them? What?
Yes. So the charge is violation of the governor's emergency orders. The governor's emergency order was no assembly. Zero people in assembly. And then he moved it from there. Of course, we broke that six times.
So of course, you could go to Home Depot, though, I suppose. You could assemble there, couldn't you, Pastor? Oh.
While he told me zero people in my church, there were hundreds of people at the Walmarts, the big box stores. You know, the governor never stopped receiving a check. The mayor, the senators, the congressmen, they never stopped receiving their paychecks. 51% of the revenue in our major cities come from the big box stores. 49% of our businesses, which are Republican owned, are mom and pop stores. They were told to stand down and stop operating their businesses. So this was a coup from the beginning. It was an hit job on conservative Americans who have Christian values and what have you. So there are nine crimes that I've been charged with. Violation of the governor's emergency orders. Now they've trumped up some other charges. Assault with a deadly weapon. The only deadly weapon that I've ever used in my life is a sharp two-edged sword.
Yes, sir.
And the only thing that I'm guilty of is assaulting the devils 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Pastor, I bet the devil takes Tylenol when you get up, don't you think?
He does. When I put my feet on the floor, he knows it's going to be a bad day.
So listen, I got a lot of people want to ask you questions. We want to hear your story. Two things I want to ask before I let some of these guys jump in here, Pastor. What has been the reaction of your brethren, the brothers of the cloth?
The majority of people, the ministry, have not stood with us. They've asked us to stand down. They begged us to stand down. And sad to say, it's caused, I'm talking about the majority, organization-wise, all organizations have stood against us. And it's caused their saints and their flock to come to us and support us, which we didn't want. We don't want division in the kingdom. You know, you never hear of hell splitting off and starting other little hells, but because they're united. Yeah. That's what the devil's modus operandi is, divide and conquer. He's got conservatives in America divided right now. He's got Christians in America divided right now. But if we would unite right now and stand up, we will beat back the tyranny and the Amen. Evil that has invaded us from the other world.
Well, we have to do it now, Pastor. Now's the time, right? We can't wait 6 months down the road. We can't wait till they get their claws on us. We can't wait till they're at the door trying to take our guns. Pastor, we got to do it now, don't we?
If you don't do it now, there won't be anything left to fight for.
Yeah, they'll be lining you up and they'll be jabbing you with a needle and giving you a vaccine, telling you, brother, I can't believe people can't see it.
You know, Coach, after 50 weeks, we have never worn masks. We never stopped shaking hands. I have baptized 578 people in the last 50 weeks in water by submersion. We never stopped assembling. We never stopped hugging necks, laying hands on people's heads and praying for them. I have not had one C-word death in my church.
Only one? You would think they would all be dead, wouldn't you, Pastor?
We've had no masking. We've had no socialism distancing. We socialize with our brother and sister, and we distance ourselves from the devil. That's what social distancing is.
Brother, let me get some of these guys in there. You okay to take some questions, aren't you?
Man, yes.
Well, listen, you go wherever you want to. This is a theology-free zone, and there's free speech right here, brother. So yeah. I hope you feel right on. Let's go down to Louisiana. Let's Dale, who you just spoke before we went on the show. Dale, come in, followed by Revelation 2:15. Come on in.
Amen, Tony. I'm also trying to get a hold of Kevin Van Story. You know, he's moved to Tennessee, and I know he was out there for the first round with you. Threefold question. First, I know you said, yeah, Larry. Is Larry, Stockstill, Bethany, are they on board with you or not? And then second, you said that you're in the Fifth Circuit. So my question is, are you going to be in the Fifth Circuit that Monday? Because that's in New Orleans. I live in Metairie. My church is in Boutte, but it's a small church. We never masked up. We never stopped services. Of course, our sheriff, different from East Baton Rouge sheriff, which you know and I know, is full of devils up there. So I guess the court, are you in New Orleans on Monday, or are you going to be up in Baton Rouge area? And then is Larry on board, yes or no?
Larry is not on board. Number two, okay. Tony Perkins is not on board.
Oh,
Tony
surprise! Surprise!
Not surprised at all. Yeah,
listen,
Tony.
Tony came out with Sheriff Sid Gotro. I offered to bring them into my building and give them a cup of coffee. He said, we cannot walk in your church, which was filled with hundreds of people, by the way. He said, because your building is exposed to the virus. So we walked out into the field and the sheriff looked at me and said, the last thing I want to do is come out here and put handcuffs on you, but I will. I said, Sheriff, I pray for you and all leaders every day. I'd hate for you to have to handcuff him, but what law have I broken? What are you going to cuff me for? And of course, Tony Perkins offered me free television, free radio, just to quit having church service. And wow, I immediately thought of 1 Kings 21. Naboth was offered a better vineyard by Ahab.
Yeah, he was.
And I said, God forbid that I should stop doing what I'm doing. And so we're going to be in the 19th Judicial District Court, downtown Baton Rouge. That's where
on
we're
Monday.
Going to be Monday, March 1st.
What time would that be, Pastor?
That would be 9 a.m.
9 a.m., okay, cool.
Central.
Dale, anything else?
No, brother, let the other questions. Yeah, I'm going to call, Tony, I am going to call you later on today. It's going to be a New Orleans 504 number, so
go
please
ahead.
Pick up chat with your brother. Love you, man. We do pray for you. Yep. And we have stood strong with the fact we don't mask. We don't do that. And Tony Perkins, I've rebuked him to his face years ago at the state capitol on the personhood bill. So
we're not going to say be filled and be warm, be on your way, Pastor. We're here to help best we can.
Hey, let me tell you this. One more thing, Coach. And
yes.
And to you as well. When my lawyer, Judge Moore, called Tony Perkins and said, you owe Pastor Spell an apology. He said, because you were wrong about him. You stood against him. He said, I will never apologize to him for what I did. Well, wow. if I'm not right with my brother, how can God hear me when I pray?
Amen, brother. Amen. Can two walk together lest they agree, right?
Right.
Revelation 20:15, come in, and then Gary Dunlap, come in after him. Come on in, Revelation.
Thanks, Coach.
Yes.
My question for you, Pastor Tony, is what would you say to my pastor who requires masks to be seated when I try to point these things out to him that go against the word of God, and he comes back to me with Romans 13? What would be a good rebuttal?
That Romans 13 club, huh? Everybody's got one of those.
The first thing you need to do is get my Romans 13 book and sermon that I preached on this. Now, while I was in the Capitol and the House, it was the Criminal Justice Committee was talking to me, nine men talking to me, and they brought up Romans 13. Number one, Romans 13 was written while the Apostle Paul was being persecuted for the faith. He was fixing to lose his head in a Philippian jail. Now, that is not civil government. That is church governance. Number one, do you mean to tell me that a whiskey guzzling, same-sex marriage, homosexual governor and mayor that we have, you mean to tell me that they are my Lord?
Amen, brother.
Okay, Romans 13:4, he beareth not the sword in vain. The sword is the word of God. They don't teach the word of God.
Amen.
How can they keep the abortion clinics 5 miles from my church open and slaughter 40 babies a day, but close our churches? They are not ministers of God. Romans 13:8 said, owe no man anything. If you're going to say that's civil government, then never have a house mortgage, never have a car note, because you can't owe man anything.
Amen, brother.
That's not literal. That means do not be beholding to a governor, a mayor, a senator, or a congressman that will keep you from telling the truth and preaching the truth. Romans 13 is not civil government. It is church governance, period. Number two, if you trust the CDC at all, even their own statistics, which most of the time are lying statistics, but 85% of the people that contract the virus are maskers. Only 3% of the people that contract the virus never wear a mask.
Amen,
brother. The mask is actually promoting the virus. We have zero masks. I have 9,800 people on our church roll. We have zero masks. We have actually created a bylaw in my church, which people can bring that with them to their job and their school that will keep them from having to mask their face. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Now the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
And we all with open face, open
Amen.
Face,
a open face,
beholding the image of God. We don't want to mask our faces. I don't know your emotions. I can't see if you're smiling. I can't see if you're angry. I don't know anything about you. When the Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph, you can't do that with a mask. When the Bible said, come before his presence with singing, make a loud noise, make a joyful voice,
yes,
you
sir.
Can't do that with a mask. So I'm sorry, but if you start obeying and capitulating with their ungodly governance now, it's not going to stop with the mask.
Yes, sir.
They're going to mandate the vaccine.
It doesn't end up in a very good place, that's for sure. Gary Dunlap, come on in. Gary, then Bob Roy, come in behind Gary. Go ahead.
I just have more of a comment. I have to say I'm quite shocked. Maybe I'm just a little naive on this. I'm in New York State, and I would certainly expect something like this to go down with every level of government and where I live. But how... This is the Louisiana. Did you guys get to this point where you have, such, as your leader?
Right. This is the Bible Belt. They eat crawdads down there, for heaven's sakes, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but, Governor John Bel Edwards is just an ungodly man. He has defied his own Republican House, who has demanded that he open the state and take these charges off of me. He has a lawsuit against his own Republican House of Representatives. The attorney, Daryl Papillon, that he has hired persecuting me because I have a lawsuit against the governor, is getting paid $7,000 per hour with taxpayer dollars to prosecute me.
Wow.
So how did we get there? Well,
because the wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. That's how.
Yes. And for the past 50 years in America, we have gradually moved to the left. We've kept going left and left and left till now. We say that we're the majority. You know, Trump got 75 million voters. We say we're the majority, but actions speak louder than words. Amen. Where's the proof?
Amen, brother.
If we would show up in force, yes, then we would back them down.
That's what we try to do here, Pastor. I promise you that. John Diamond, then Rochelle, then Joe Farrell. Come on in, John.
Hey, brother. It's a pleasure having you on here this morning.
When you come in, tell him what state you're from. Johnson, Pennsylvania. We cover it all here, Pastor.
Yeah, me and Coach Dave actually met in 2003 when we went down and supported Judge Roy Moore during his Ten Commandments. You can actually watch the old Fox News footage and see me and Coach walking down the street with picket signs supporting Judge Moore. So I'm glad to see him still involved in this. Our nation is our pastors are the ones who are at fault for most of what's going on, just really based on their ignorance and their fear. I've written two books. I'm going to send the copies of those to you. We're starting a Christian civil rights movement, really modeled off of what Martin Luther King did to make sure our God-given and constitutional rights are protected. Just even the biblical ignorance. I mean, the Bible says man shall work 6 days and shall rest on the seventh. And when pastors tell their congregation, the government said you shall not work 6 days. I mean, that's even just a violation of God's law, even if we didn't have a constitution. So it really is. We had a civil meeting right here in our church and had probably more people from our community Friday night than we have in a normal church service. And our mayor got up and he just started spouting. He's supposed to be a member of the Methodist Church. And he started spouting all these lies about Romans 13 and we got to obey government and you can't legislate morality. And I'm just like, you people have no idea what you're talking about. So I just praise God for somebody as educated as you, somebody who has done the due diligence to study not only God's word, but the founding documents. And we definitely want to work with you in any way that we can, either up here or down there. So I just want to thank God for you.
Bless you, John. Hey, Pastor Tony, listen, John's made a point there, except he didn't make a point. Is it fear or is it ignorance, brother, that are holding our pastors back?
So it's a spirit of fear, and God didn't give that spirit of fear.
Amen.
If God didn't give it, they are under strong delusion, and it is satanic delusion. You know, he brought up another great point in Romans 13 and 4, where it says they are ordained of God.
Yeah.
Now, if that is civil government, that means Adolf Hitler was ordained of God.
Amen.
It means Pol Pot was ordained of God. Joseph Stalin, Robert Mugabe.
Yep.
Are you telling me that I have to obey those ministers ordained of God?
Never in my life, brother.
I'm not going to obey them any more than I'm going to obey Beijing Joe Biden. Any more than I'm going to obey John Bell Edwards. These are godless tyrants who are no better than Hitler, who are no better than Pol Pot or Mussolini. Romans 13, we have Americanized the Bible.
Yes.
It's not an American book.
Communist
China right now, are they to obey their government? If they do, they cannot have underground church.
I think I figured out why you're in trouble, Pastor. You need a course in friendship evangelism.
Yeah.
Right? You need some of your best life now. Come on in, Rochelle. Followed by a Silver.
Hey, good morning. I'm from Florida, and I just want to say that you're contaminated with the Jesus virus, and you're assaulting these evil spirits with your gospel. That's your deadly weapon. That's who you're hurting.
Yes,
that's what's really going on here. So I have really, I think I have two questions. You know, there's all these people coming after you, and I see people, same thing with John MacArthur. They've kind of left Jack Hibbs alone, but I think they will be coming after him. So one question, were you like mentally prepared for this? Because this was a big,
good question.
Seems
good
like
question.
A big thing. Were you mentally prepared? And do you think that the reason these emergency powers hold any bite, is that still because Trump's emergency orders are in place? And one more thing about the mask. I love the line you gave about face to face, but also we're not to perpetuate a lie, are we?
You cannot bear, you cannot bear false witness. Masking says to you that when I have my mask on, you're safe. And it tells me that I think that you're safe. So you're bearing false witness.
Amen. Amen.
But I was not prepared whenever those policemen walked into my church, read me my Miranda rights, fingerprinted me, handcuffed me, put me into the back of a squad car and put me to the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison. I was not prepared whenever they said, you cannot leave your parish. I missed the birth of my grandson in Atlanta, Georgia, because I could not leave the state of Louisiana for the crime.
Wicked, wicked.
I was not prepared when those children on my buses who come to church every Sunday morning, but whose parents watched the news and listened to my governor, my mayor, and told the city of Baton Rouge, do not go back to Pastor Spell's church. On CNN, Jake Tapper, Governor Edwards, called me by name and said, we're gonna shut Pastor Spell down. I was not prepared when after weeks of young girls, 25 different nationalities in my church, when they weren't able to come to church and are being molested and raped because of parents who are out of work, locked in their homes, when those little girls climb up on the back of a chair and hang themselves, and then I preach their funeral. When another one of my young men, a 14-year-old boy, was shot at point-blank range by another young man in his house because they were forbidden to go to church. Another young man was gunned down in the streets. I was not prepared for that. I was not prepared for 8 people to be terminated from their jobs because their face was seen coming into my church. Terminated from paper mills, refineries, business offices, what have you. Fired from their jobs just because they came to our in-person assemblies. I was not mentally prepared for that. However, I do know that God has raised us up. There are some great moments in your life. Number one is the day you're born. Number two, the day you're born again. But finally, when you realize why you were born again.
Amen.
And I was born for this moment to shake a fist in the face of the governor and said, you are going to pay for this. You're not going to get by with destroying our civil and religious liberties. And you've met somebody that will not comply. But we're going to back you down and we're going to break you. And God's got an army that's raising up.
Yes, sir.
You know, so I was not mentally prepared for anything. We've just been rolling with the punches for the past 50 weeks. But not only are we rolling with the punches, we're on the aggressive end now.
Amen.
We are claiming territory that was stolen by the devil. And we're taking that back and say, no more. You're not going to push us around one inch.
Amen.
We're buying more buses. We're building more buildings, all while we're breaking their laws. But a commandment is stronger than an amendment. A commandment is stronger than a mandate. So it's time for America to wake up. I don't know if they will, but I know that. But God's always had one Daniel, 3 Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one Esther, one Ruth, one Naboth. That's all it takes is one person. And if we'll stand together, we'll win.
Think where we would be today, Pastor Tony, if we had stood with Judge Roy Moore back in 2003. Think where we would be today. Silver, come on in, followed by Myra and then Alan.
Good morning, Pastor.
Joe's out in Texas.
You can see my screen. This is a completely electric-free dead zone. It's 3 degrees. And it's very cold.
Texas, suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I was going to ask you, pastors, do you belong to a certain denomination?
Mm-hmm. So I'm apostolic in doctrine, Pentecostal in experience. I belong to the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship. Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship is similar to the UPCI, United Pentecostal Church. So I'm a part of them.
Did they come and stand with you, Pastor?
Well, the thing I'm trying to get from you.
They have not.
If you're associated with a whatever group, okay, kind of thing, and if they're not supporting you, I would think it'd be time to break away and belong to Christ.
Can two walk completely together unless they agree, right, Joe? It's pretty simple.
Amen.
Pretty simple stuff.
One answer to that is, why leave and put them in a bind when you can stay and keep them in a bind?
That's good.
So I sit on the Global Missions Council. I sit on the General Council. So I'm one of 6 men, one of 50 men in a large worldwide Pentecostal federation. So
I'm forcing them
to say, you're either going to stand with me or stand against me. Jesus said, he that gathers not with me scattereth abroad.
That's
so
right.
We are autonomous. We stand alone. I didn't get in this fight hoping that people would join me. I got in this fight because the Lord commanded me to.
Amen.
And I knew that I could. I didn't get in a fight hoping somebody would help me win. I got in this, and if nobody stood with me, I was going to stand with God.
Amen.
Where no man stands alone.
Amen. Myra, come on in, followed by Alan Zeifer. Come on in, Myra.
Yes. Good morning, saints. Thank you, Pastor Spell, and thank you, Coach, for bringing the best people in the show. I got your bookmark for a donation. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. She's in Maryland. Alan Zeifer. Come on in, Alan. Alan's from parts unknown. He's in Mississippi. He's in Florida. He's all over the place. Come on in, Alan.
Hey, good morning, Pastor. I'm glad the coach got you on here. I've been following your story the whole time. I got a pretty big Facebook following, and I would always re-record some of your stuff you had going on, trying to get support for you. I just believe God is exposing the backslid church. I tell you, it's a shame. We really are a remnant. I tell you, Coach's show is made up of a remnant of people, and Pastor, you really a remnant, and I'm so happy that we're able to join you. Me and my wife is coming out there. We're going to be staying in Mississippi, but we're going to come out there for the court date. I'm looking forward to it. My prayer to God is I wish 10,000 men and women of God would just come down and pray at that courthouse. That's what I want. Whether it happens, I don't know. That's up to the Lord. But the thing I wanted to ask you, Pastor, is this thing not just all trickling down from the NWO, from the WHO? Everything that's coming from them, the CDC is throwing to us, and that makes this whole thing unconstitutional from the start. Am I right about it?
You're exactly right. It's a new world order. In Genesis 11, this is the last time that God would deal with the world universally. Nimrod built his Tower of Babel. He used bricks they had instead of stone, slime they had instead of mortar. Everything was uniformed. Everything was identical, which Nimrod, being a type of the Antichrist, this is what our government is today. It's an anti-God government that wants to make us all like eggs in a basket. We all want you to have on a mask. We all want you to stop going to church. We want you to lose your unique identity. We were made in God's image and after his likeness, Genesis 1:26. Isaiah 45 said, whom shall you liken me? And who are you going to make me equal to? So as God is unique in his identity, he stands alone. We are unique in our identities. And God never did intend for us to go with the flow and to just go along with these government orders. Should Moses had gone along with Pharaoh and leave the slaves in Egypt? Should those patriots at Concord Bridge refuse to fire the shot heard around the world? Should Jesus Christ have refused the cross? No. All of these men had their own special calling. This is our hour to defy the new world order. What we allow in moderation, our children will accept in excess. When I was a boy, same-sex marriage was unheard of. The homosexuals were still in the closet. Today, we have transvestites and homosexuals that are running the highest offices of our land.
Amen.
And our children don't bat an eye at it. If we don't stand up against this new world order and say no more, then our children won't have anything left to stand up for.
Pastor Tony, what can we, me sitting here in outside of Columbus, Ohio, and Randy sitting in Oklahoma, and Joe sitting out in wherever Joe, what can we do specifically to help you?
So to help me, I think that we need to assemble a certain day. I've had many rallies at the governor's mansion. People have come in from across America to stand with us, even across the world. I think that we need to assemble, since I can't leave the East Baton Rouge Parish deal, and I am facing jail time, jail and fines. Somebody better than me needs to organize a day when we can march. Amen. Either on our Capitol or our governor's mansion and say enough, drop the charges. I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. I don't know if that's March the 1st. I don't know if it's a day that we can call together, but it needs to happen. And I'm sad to say I don't have that support across America that's willing to come in.
Well, brother, we're going to try to do something about that.
I know that when we show up in force, we make our voice heard. But as long as, like Daryl Papillon, the governor's attorney, again, who's getting wealthy off of prosecuting me, as long as he thinks it's just one man, which is not just one man, there's 89 of you in here, okay? If he would know, no, there's more of us, and we're stronger together. If they would see that, then they would be afraid instead
Amen.
Of us afraid.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Bobby Lee, come on. I'm sorry, Joe. No, Gerald was in here. Joe, you already spoke. Bobby Lee, then Ohio Brett, and then Joanne. Come on in here, folks. We've got about 13 minutes. Let's finish
this. Yeah, I woke up this morning thinking that not only do we need new political guards, obviously, we need new pastors. I said this weekend, we drive across this nation and see these big, huge churches, these steeples sticking out everywhere, multiple churches on every street. I want to know what they're doing. I heard somebody say last week, the church hasn't done anything for a long time, decades. My comment was, I don't think the church has done anything since 1776.
You know what?
Yep, good.
When the largest Pentecostal organization in the world called me by name on four different occasions, they sent out a press release to all the major news networks in America. They said, Pastor Spell is not affiliated with us. His views are not our views.
Wow.
They threw me under the bus. And then they called me and said, we did this. And I said, that's fine. You have the freedom of speech and I have the freedom to do what I do. I was upset. I was heartbroken. I was grief-stricken over that. Because if we ever needed to stand together, it was now. And now, after 50 weeks of this, now they're waking up and saying, wait, maybe this is unconstitutional.
Wow. Well,
too soon old, too late smart. Now that you have set precedent, the South Bay Supreme Court case a week ago was not a good win. The Supreme Court said you can have 25%, you can't sing or chant. That set precedent. We don't accept that.
No.
Judge Roy Moore said, we are not going to accept anything except period. No law. N-O. No law respecting established religion. You're not going to tell me that 75 people have to go home. You're not going to tell me, you know, this is so hypocritical, Coach. Whenever I was in the 19th Judicial District Court, when I was released from the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison, Judge Fred Kafasi had 9 people in the courtroom. They all had on masks except for myself and my attorney. When the bailiff walked in, it was number 10. He paused the hearing and he said, we're out of compliance with the governor's orders. There's more than 9 people in this huge courtroom. He made him leave.
Oh my!
He looked at me in a 33-page court hearing that I spoke for 17 pages. He looked at me and he said, you with nine people in the Louisiana Superdome, which seats 60,000 people, is unlawful. You cannot have that. You are forbidden to preach to your congregation. You can preach in your closet. So I said, the homosexuals are coming out of the closet, but you want me to go into the closet.
Wow.
God forbid. God forbid. And of course, they strapped an ankle bracelet on me and forbid me to leave my home.
And Ohio Brett, come on in. And Clay.
Well, Coach and Pastor, both of you are true leaders worth following. Praise be to God for that. And we, Pastor, we just want you to know that you are encouraging us in Amen. All 88 counties in Ohio, and we will take action. God bless you.
We're going to, brother. We'll get on top of it, I promise you. Clay, come on in. Clay's from, he claims Alabama, but actually he's up in Tennessee. Come on in, Clay.
Yeah, I'm from the deep south down around Mobile, Alabama. You're a warrior, Tony. And I want to, you know, you said we're army is rising up. And I just want to put this call out to anybody. There's some great, great men. You talk about Louisiana being full of, it's full of real men. And yes. The people that could do something about this could be doing something about it, and they're not stepping up. So
we're going
to
find
there's going to be people. There's going to be people listening to this broadcast, and I just want to tell you, if you don't like what you're hearing, do something. We need you. Do something. Let it stir your heart. Get brave and stand with Pastor Tony.
Amen. Randy, then Jeff, then Joanne. Come on in, Randy. Randy's in Oklahoma.
Hello, Pastor Spell. This is an honor to talk with you, sir. Thank God for this anointing. Thank you, Father, for the anointing here. Let me ask you this, if I could, and without you disclosing legal strategy, are you planning to approach the 19th district challenging their jurisdiction? And is Judge Moore going to be there as a bar registered attorney?
Yes, Judge Moore first represented me pro hoc vice. And we had a local counsel, Jeff Wittenbrink. Since then, the bar has accepted Judge Moore's application to operate in the state. So he can operate in the state. Here's the problem. They forbid us to go into the courtroom unmasked. Now, the judge hates that as much as me. So here's the problem. The problem is that we have the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I also have the right to face my accusers, but they are denying me that right because they forbid me entrance into the courtroom without a mask. Now, I do have some supporters that went in and with masks on, but they were so upset at the way that the judge and the governor's attorneys were talking about me. I mean, they spoke very, very wickedly about me, and women had to get up and walk out because of the way they were talking. Now, so Judge Roy Moore is representing me. He's there for all of my hearings. And I told him, we're not going to win any other way but on the word of God.
Amen.
I don't want to win on equal protection, strict scrutiny, or least restrictive means, which are legal terms. If you have a store open, you can't close the church down. Well, you know that Herod killed his own boy to kill Jesus. Their problem is they will shut everything down to shut the church down.
Yeah, they will.
So when we say we're equal, they will make us equal. I don't want to be equal. I say the whole world can shut down, but do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now
we're for separate but equal, aren't we, brother? When it comes to Christian,
I can go where I want to go in the state, but the state's jurisdiction stops at the threshold of the door of my church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me get Randy Lunsford in here, then Joanne, then Jeff. Come on in, Randy.
Yeah, Pastor, I want to just congratulate.
Oklahoma. Go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry.
Can you hear me, Coach?
Yeah, Randy's from Oklahoma. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in Oklahoma, Tony. Thank you for your courage, brother. God chose you
like he froze
to stand where you're at today for this country. God has you in this fight, Tony, because of your humility, your courage, and he will cover you, and you will be covered through the very end. And this, you will come out of this, brother. Just hang in there a little bit longer.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But you are a poster for the real church, brother. And thank Amen. You. Thank you. Thank you.
You're more of an encouragement to us, Tony, than you even know. Joanne, come on in, then Jeff now. That'll be the last two callers then. Go ahead, Joanne.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I just want to make a observation here. Didn't you say your congregation doesn't have any sickness, or did you just say no death?
No death. We've had a few sicknesses.
It's the flu.
Maybe, you know, whatever it is.
Well, it just recovered.
We never said anybody would not get sick. We never said anybody wouldn't die. But we said, oh, you're breaking up bad, but.
Oh, I didn't say anything else. I was waiting for you to finish.
Oh, go ahead, sorry. So herd immunity. We never stopped assembling. We've had church three times a week for the past. We run 33 buses. We pick up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. We meet 6 days per week in home Bible classes. So if we were going to die, I think we'd all be dead by now. We just have tabernacle instead of life tabernacle. But God gave us an immune system. And that immune system... yeah.
All of a sudden we have connection issues here, Tony. I don't know what's going on. Jeff, now, see if you can jump in there, Jeff.
That can of worms, that they're not getting sick. They're not dying from this sickness.
No.
That's the not. Worms that they're shutting off. But anyway, Massachusetts.
God bless you. Thanks, Jeff.
What happens is my signal gets scrambled.
Yeah.
That's why I noticed I can have 100 texts come in at one time because my system gets scrambled.
I bet
in my
does.
Services live feeds, they will flip a switch and everything will go off when I use certain words.
I believe they're doing that right now. Jeff Nell, come on in, Jeff. Jeff's in Fallon, Nevada.
Yes, right next to Communist California. Boy, this is crazy. I just want to encourage you, Luke 21, just that God gives us the words to say. Let him give you the words to say. And another thing, do not say my church. It is a privilege to be which position you have today to represent the Lord himself.
Amen. Amen.
Don't be full of pride. It's not my church. It is a privilege. Thank you.
Amen. I don't sense you're full of pride. I understand, Jeff. I understand. I don't sense you're full of pride. So, Pastor, we have we got a couple minutes here. Then when we're done, if you can hang out with us for a few minutes, we'd appreciate that. Yeah. Again, Pastor, put out an appeal. What about finances, brother? Who's financing this battle for you?
So if you want to help with legal fees at ltcbr.com or write into 9323 Hooper Road, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, our attorneys, Judge Roy Moore and Jeff Wittenbrink, are representing us pro bono.
Wow.
Because this is a fight for all of America and all religions.
Amen.
However, anything that comes in, we give it directly to them because after nearly a year now, they're bleeding financially. And the left, communist socialists, are outgiving us.
Wow.
They're outfighting us. They're out.
Plus the government gets the money, right? They're taking our tax dollars and prosecuting you.
Yeah. You know, they're, like I said, Daryl Papillon doesn't want this to end. Man, when you're making $7,000 per hour, January 25th was 4 hours and 40 minutes in the courtroom. 4 hours and 40 minute hearing. And the judge, Judge Ebony Johnson Rose, she already had her verdict written out. It was typed out before we ever had the trial. It was a waste of our time to even plead our case.
Amen. Hey, Dale Socia, pray right now over Pastor Tony. Would you do that for us, Dale?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I'm here, brother. Let me tell you what, Pastor. I discern a humble spirit upon you. And Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I think about Solomon when the Lord came to him and asked, what is it that you would desire ask of me? And Solomon didn't ask for the riches. He didn't ask for the giftings. He asked for wisdom. And I pray for Tony, as I know he has prayed for that. I do pray, God, that you would depart by your Holy Spirit wisdom, Father God, for this battle and the strategy thereof. Father, I'm grateful that he has surrounded his men himself with men such as Chief Justice Roy Moore. And I pray financial blessings upon them. And Father God, Lord, that Lord, you're watching over them. A hair does not fall from their head. So Lord, keep them in their family and his congregation. Father God, they are seeing what a real Christian is in this time and in this endeavor. And so, Father, I pray that you comfort him and encourage him in his spirit this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, be with his wife. Encourage his wife and his family, Lord Jesus. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Help them to abide there, Lord. We just thank you for his heart. We thank you for his willingness to fight. We thank you for his time. In Jesus' name. Hey, Pastor Jesus. Tony, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God, brother? We're going to find out, aren't we? God bless you, Pastor Tony. Thanks for being with us, and we'll have you on again. And hang in there with us just a second. We'll be right back. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.